Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. As a pastor, I've been studying the book of Hebrews this year more than I've ever studied it. And God's given me some things and let me glean some things here and there. And if God willing, I'd like to preach a few nights on the book of Hebrews and give you that God has given me, and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter 1. If you would, let's stand. I just want to read one verse, and then you keep your Bibles open, and you follow along with me tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The writer of Hebrews says, being made so much better than the angels. I want to preach tonight on this thought. He's better than the angels. Father, I pray that you just, Lord, captivate our attention tonight. Thank you for the portion of Scripture that you've led my heart to tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, with the liberty of the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God tonight will go forth, not in word only, but in power and demonstration of your great Spirit. And Father, do a work in us that we cannot do for ourselves. God, for that one that's disheartened tonight, may their hearts be lifted up and encouraged. For that one tonight, that Lord, that is cold and indifferent, may their hearts be stirred and they'll run by the cross of Calvary. Get a glimpse once again of what the dying Savior has done for them there. For that one that's lost tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would overcome, overwhelm, overtake that heart, and that they'll see their need of the dying Savior before it's too late. Father, for all that you do, we'll be ever grateful and we'll be very careful to bow our heads at the blood-stained feet of our Savior and Lord. For we ask it in that name that's above every name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Look again with me, if you would, at verse 4. The writer of Hebrews says, being made so much better than the angels. That word better here appears 13 times in this book alone. God only has to say something one time for it to really be meaningful. But He says this word 13 times. And the word better here is a word that is used for comparison. He's going to compare Christ here to various and sundrious things. Now the fact that this word better is used 13 times is interesting, because the number 13 is a number of depravity and rebellion and curse. And everything around you and I tonight is in depravity. It's in rebellion. Everything that you see and everything that you touch is in rebellion. Everything that your eyes lay upon every day is certainly cursed. Now the Hebrews here were written during a time when Israel had fallen and Nero was burning Christians at the stake. Many of the child of God's life had become a martyr in those days. And the only hope that the writer of Hebrews gives those young believers is that what they were going through and the fact that they were being martyred was that the only thing he could say to them was, he's better. He's better. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what valley you may be going through or what hardship you may be facing, I'm here to tell you, He's better. I'm glad that the writer of Hebrews, who I'm convinced no doubt was Paul, I believe the writer of Hebrews is telling us that there is a better hope. There is a better testament. There is better promises. And there is a better sacrifice. I'm glad there is a better country. And I'm glad there was a better resurrection. But I want you to know tonight, the Lord Jesus all around is better. And the thought here tonight that He's better than the angels. First of all, I'm comforted in this verse to see that there is the principle of better. The text tells us that He's not just better, but the Bible gives us a much principle here. The Bible says here in verse 4 that He is much better. I'm glad that He is much better tonight. But the writer don't only say that He's much better, but the writer says He's so much better. I tell you the fact that, my friend, that He used the descriptive terms that He used to let us know that He's always better than anything else that we could ever accumulate, that we could ever have, or that we could ever possess in this walk of life. He said, whatever you've got in quantity, whatever you've got in amount or number or size, my friend, He's much more longer, and He's much more bigger, and He's much more higher and deeper than anything else. He's just better. I don't know what you're spending your time, my friend, in this life doing, but I tell you, some are certainly working for something that's of no value, because the Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord says, I give my life and I am so much better. You see, there's a much principle here in the Scripture. But then there is a made principle here in verse 4. Look at it. He said, being made. There's a made principle here, because that word made is not the word for creation. No. You see, all the angelic beings that were ever created by God, good and bad, they were all created, and you know who created them? Better did. Better's created every one of them. But the word made here means to lift one up so that you can clearly say that He's always been. My friend, the angels that God created are awful powerful tonight. But I'm glad the one that made them is more powerful than the angel. You see, the Bible gives us a description of the angelic beings. The Bible mentions the word cherubim. You see, the word cherubim means guard. And they're sent to guard. You remember at the tomb of Jesus, there at the head and there at the foot, there were two angels guarding the tomb of the Christ. And my friend, listen, they were sitting there and they said to those that came by, better is gone. In other words, our job is over because better has gone. Oh, not only is there the angelic being called cherubim that was upon that ark of that covenant, that mercy seat lid spoke of guardians, but there's the word seraphims, and their name means burner. And their job was to worship God and to worship the one that created them. John says that they've been doing it ever since they've been created, and they're still doing it at this present time. And when you and I get there, they'll still be doing it. You know what they're doing? They're crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But there are names given to the angels in the Bible.
There's the name Michael. The word Michael means mighty. And his name means one like God. But then there's another one by the name of Gabriel. And Gabriel's name means messenger. And he stands as the man of God. But then there's another one called Lucifer. He's not mighty, and he's not the messenger of God. But Lucifer was majesty. He was a beautiful, anointed cherub. But you see, Lucifer was the son of the morning. But here in Hebrews, God said that Jesus, who is better, has much more an excellent name. You see, Michael may be mighty, but God is almighty. You say, preacher, how in the world can one that is like God be any greater than better? Well, you see, Jesus ain't like God. The Bible says that Jesus is God. And there's Gabriel. His name means messenger. He is the man of God. But you see, Jesus is not the man of God. Paul said he's the God-man. He's all God and he's all man. But oh, listen, I tell you, when you, Jesus is the only one that can take God by the hand and take man by the hand and make us one in himself. Lucifer's name means majesty, son of the morning. He was the anointed cherub. But Jesus is not the son of the morning. Jesus shines brighter than 10,000 suns. In fact, my Bible tells me that Jesus one day is going to light up the city where you and I are going. And there'll never be a night there. It'll only be one long, continuous day. I got to thinking about that and studying through the book of Hebrews. And I couldn't help but think of this. Did you know there ain't nobody going to get there any sooner than you will? Because when we get there, it's still going to be the same day. And my brothers or my aunts or my uncles or my preacher brother ain't going to get there a day sooner than I am. Because when we get there, it's still going to be day. Amen. I see the principle of better here. But then, secondly, there's the person of better. Look in verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. Now here's the person. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He says here, the writer of Hebrews, that he's got a name through inheritance. The word inheritance here is a word that means to fix or be in a fixed position. Jesus in his name has a name like no other name. He's the only one, and it's fixed, and it's final, and it's in a fixed position. The writer says here that he's obtained it. He's heir of it, and it's an excellent name. He says in contrast and comparison that his name is far better than any other name. Have you ever stopped to think that no doubt Gabriel, being the messenger of God that told Mary that she was going to birth God's Son into the world. No doubt Gabriel was the one that told them shepherds where to find the Christ child. No doubt it was Gabriel that told Mary and Joseph on the morning that Jesus was born to put up their book of names. For God had already given him a name that was above every name. And his name was going to be Jesus. What makes his name so much better? Well, for one thing, it's got a fatherly connection. Look here, if you would, in verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now, did you catch that? He said, thy throne, O
God. He's talking to the Son. I wonder what the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormon will do about that. Amen. They don't believe He's God. But the Bible says here that He has a fatherly connection. That word, oh God, the word God here is a word that is a word that means Elohim. It means God's. G-O-D-N. You say, preacher, I thought the Jews only worshiped one God. That's right. They didn't know how to explain Him in three persons. You see, the word Elohim means to, that means that He made everything from nothing. Where did He get you and me at? I'll tell you where. From nothing. You know how He could do it? He's better. He's better than anything else that this world has ever seen. You say, preacher, what name does He have? He has the name better. The Bible says here that He hath a more excellent name than they or the angels. Oh, listen, my friend. God said in Philippians 2 and verse 9, God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. But look here in verse 2. My friend, the Bible said that He is appointed heir of all things. That is, He has a fatherly connection. He's the one that speaks. In verse 6, the Bible says He's the first begotten. That is, out of Him flows everything else. How did you and I get here? We came through the first begotten. Everybody that's ever been has come through the first begotten. He is the first. And my friend, He's the channel. And the Bible said here in verse 6, and again, He said, the writer does, when He bringeth forth the first begotten into the world. You know, the first time that Jesus came, I mean, listen, they worshiped God. They worshiped the one that sent Him. But did you know the next time that better comes, they're going to worship the one that comes. Amen. Amen. He's coming and He's better. He's got a fatherly connection. And therefore He's got a better name than anyone else. But He also has a family connection. Look here in verse 2. He has a family connection. In the last part of verse 2, the writer of Hebrews said, by whom also He made the worlds. Now wait a minute, preacher. I thought that Moses said in the first book of the Bible that God created everything. But the writer of Hebrews here in verse 2 says that He made the world. How can that be, preacher? Well, they're both right. God and Jesus is the same person. I tell you, He's better. Amen. He's better. Oh, listen to me tonight. Both are correct. He's better. Since there's a family connection and a fatherly connection, in verse 3, I see here that He's our sustainer. Look at it. The Bible said He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. Oh, I'm glad tonight. Hey, listen. It ain't Washington holding this universe together. It ain't the governments holding this world together. But oh, He's the sustainer of everything that there is. I tell you, He's upholding all things by the word of His power. How do you think that the nine planets are where they're at tonight? And not one time in all the millennial ages has one ever collided with the other one. You know why? Because He's upholding it by the word of His power. I tell you, it's not this tree-hugging group running around in this frog-kissing society. No, sir, friend. I mean, better is holding everything. He's our sustainer. Not only is He our sustainer, but look in verse 3. The Bible said, when He hath by Himself purged our sin. He's not only our sustainer, He's our Savior. Oh, thank God. Listen, He's purged our sins. Plural, S-I-N-S. That means all of them. Past, present, and future.
He's purged all my sins. Now, I know that a lot of us are holy, and we ain't never done much wrong. We've got that mentality. But I tell you, most of us have never been in trouble with the law. But you know, the Bible said, now we know that whatsoever thing the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that the whole world may become guilty before God. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death. But you know that word purged here? It's a word that means pardon. It means to take away or to wipe clean. I want you to know tonight, if you've ever been in trouble with the law, you don't want to ever be paroled. You want to be pardoned. Because if you're ever paroled and you ever make one mistake, you've got to go all the way back and start all over again. Well, glory to God. I'm glad that when He saved me, thank God He did not parole me, but He pardoned me. He wiped it clean. He pardoned me. I tell you, He took it away and He's pardoned me. Thank God. You ought to shout on that with all the stuff you got in your closets. Amen. Your wife can bring up more stuff than you could ever think about the trouble you've been in. Amen. I'm glad that He's part. He's my sustainer. He's my Savior. But all here in verse 3, He's my supplicator. Look here. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What's He doing up there, preacher? I'll tell you what He's doing. He's making intercession for you and me. You say, preacher, what's He praying for? He ain't praying for the world. He's praying for His children. He's praying for those whom He has purchased and He's pardoned. I tell you, I'm glad that He's my supplicator. Thank God He's praying for me and you. I tell you, listen, when Jesus only stood up one time, and that's when Stephen had a homecoming. Only one time Jesus ever stood up. Bill and Hillary Clinton never got Him to stand up. And old Boo-Boo ain't never got Him to stand up. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The next time He stands up, better's coming. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that He's my supplicator. And He's making intercession for you and me. He's been praying for you. And He's been praying for me. I tell you, you can ask people to pray for you. And before they hit the back door, they've done forgot about it. I'm glad Jesus is praying for me every day, and He's praying for you. Aren't you glad somebody's praying for you every moment of every day? Oh, He's my sustainer. He's my Savior and my supplicator. But oh, He's my sovereign. Look here in verses 10 and following. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doeth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but Thou art the same. And Thy years shall not fail. Oh, listen, He's better. Ain't nothing like Him. He's so much better than the angels. I like that song that we used to sing. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. Sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. I tell you, I love the name of Jesus. In our old song books, I love some of those songs that tells us how much Jesus loves us and how we ought to love Him. I heard the little children get up yesterday morning and sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. Listen, I've never heard nobody say, oh, how I love Buddha. Oh, how I love Buddha. Oh, how I love Buddha. because Buddha loves me. I ain't never heard nobody sing that song. Have you? I ain't never heard nobody sing that song. Amen. Amen. You don't have to get quiet on me. Amen. Amen. I mean, have you ever heard anybody say, yes, Allah loves me. Yes, Allah loves me. Yes, Allah loves me. The Koran told me so. I ain't never heard somebody sing that song. You just now heard somebody sing it. But I'm trying to give you an illustration. But oh, I'm glad we can come to the house of God and we can sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen to me tonight. He is sovereign and He's so much better. Oh, there's the principle of better, the person of better. But lastly tonight, there's the premise of better. Look here, if you would, in verses 13 and 14. By His own title and admission and testimony, when compared to the angels, the Bible says here, He's better. But verse 13, but to which of the angels said He at any time, sit thou on My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Thinking about the premise of better here. They're ministers, the Bible says here in verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? The Bible says that these angels, David said there's a myriad of them. Myriad means an algebraic word for an infinitive number. In other words, David says there's myriads of angels. But He's better. John over there in Revelation said there's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's what John said. But you know, the Bible says here, He's better. He's better. There's an innumerous number of angels. But He's so much better than the angels. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, as children, you know, from time to time you turn something over. And I can still hear my mama saying, son, or one of us kids. Kids, don't you? It's all over the floor. She had that habit of saying that. It's all over the floor. And one day I said, but Mama, it ain't over there in that corner. See, we use terms, but oh, when it comes to the angels, there's a myriad of them. There's millions of them. But the Bible says here in verse 14 that they're ministering spirits. Now, I love looking up words and doing word studies. You have to forgive me. I love doing that. The word ministering here is a word that we get our word table waiter on. It's a table waiter. And it doesn't mean the one that comes to take your order to order your food. But the fact that they are ministering spirits, these angels, these angelic creatures that God's created, are ministering spirits. They're table waiters. In other words, they're going around cleaning up all the messes that we make. You think about that. Listen to what Hebrews, you don't have to turn, I'm going to read it here. In Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You see, they're entertainers. That's what God created them for.
Some are entertainers. Now, better is the entertainment coordinator. But the Bible says that they're entertainers. They're ministering spirits. And all this, they're ministering and doing the work that God called them to do. But I'm glad that there's better.
Amen.
I'll never forget years ago reading a missionary story on a fellow by the name of John Patton. John Patton was a missionary to the Hebrides Indians in the Pacific Ocean. I'm probably not saying that name right. But anyway, he spent 5 years on the mission field. And they were cannibals. They ate each other. They ate people. And he and his wife and family were there for 5 years. And he got fearful for his life that they were going to take him and his family. So he left and he was gone for 6 months. But God burdened his heart to go back to those Indians, those natives. And he went back and he spent 41 more years, a total of 46 years. And when he went back, God gave him a great revival. And hundreds of them got saved. The first 5 years, he didn't even make contact with them. And he just knew they were going to come in on him at night, take him and his family and children, and eat them alive. So he left, but he went back, and hundreds of them got saved. Some of the chiefs in the villages got saved. And one day in a church service, John Patton, the missionary, asked some of those chiefs, said, "I want to know, you all were cannibals before you got saved. Why did you never eat me and my family?" "Oh," they said, "but Mr. Missionary, we wanted to eat you. We come regularly to your house. We had the pot boiling with water. We're ready to get you and eat you." He said, "Well, why didn't you eat?" They said, "Well, there's only one reason. We never could figure out them two shiny men on top of your roof." Oh, listen. I'm glad there's somebody better. God does have a myriad of angels. But oh, I'm glad there's better. And the writer of Hebrews said, he's so much better than the angels. How can he be better, Brother Ken? Well, he can be better because I love what David said. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou better." He didn't say the angels would be with us. I'm glad that one day when we come down to the end of the road and we get ready to cross that river, he ain't going to send a bunch of angels for me. Better's coming after me. Better's coming to get me. I'm going Tuesday to the University of Kentucky. My brother died a little over 2 years ago with prostate cancer. It eat him up alive. I was there the last day, a couple of days with him. He was in such misery. He had surgery, but it just ate him up. He went through an excruciating death. I've been battling prostate problems since I was 25. And I went for an exam a few weeks back, and they found a large knot. And now I'm going Tuesday and they're going to take 6 or 8 biopsies to see if I've got the cancer. And some of my members said to me the other day, said, "Preacher, We're praying for you. We want God to take you away from us. I said, well, it's in the Lord's hands. And I was preaching this message not long ago. And I said, it don't matter what the outcome is, because better is with me. Better's walking down the road with me. I got better in me. Now listen, I've got better around me. And I got better on my side. And greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter to me. See, because I know there's something better waiting on me on the other side. He's so much better than the angels. I want to ask you tonight in closing, when's the last time that you got in the presence of better and told Him how much He means to you? After all, ain't nobody ever loved you like Ben. Ain't nobody ever done for me what Ben had done for me. Oh, I remember that Sunday. I was just a little over 9 years old. And I walked down that aisle and I got on my face as a little country boy. I didn't know anything about church. Didn't even have a Bible. We didn't have a Bible in our home. Not one Bible. But that morning I knelt at that altar. Better came by and done a work in me that I never got over. My whole life has been consumed by better. Have I lived perfectly? No, Lord, no. I failed Him so many times. But I love Him tonight. And I've loved Him through the years. I've tried my best to live for Him and study and prepare and preach and feed the people of God. And to preach the gospel to the lost. And to preach everywhere God opens up a door. But after all the years of doing that, I've not got tired of better. I hope He lets me live a long time. And when I get to my dying days, I can still be preaching about better. What's He mean to you tonight? He's better than the angels. Our Father, I thank You. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, I don't know who in this room tonight needs to get close to better. They need to come, and they need to get down, and they need to tell better how much they appreciate Him. For what that He's done for them. Because He's so much better than the angels. Oh, and if He's so much better than the angels who's never sinned and been out of the presence of a holy God, how much should we as Adamic sinners ought to get on our face before a holy God and say, thank You, Lord, for better. He's so much better than anything that this world could give. Lord, I pray You do a work in us. Bless in these days. Lord, I pray that God, that we would just see things happen for Your honor and for Your glory. I thank You for this dear pastor and this church and for what they've meant to us through the years. Now, God, be with us this week as we worship together. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.